outside in the dark and cold, where blues won't haunt you anymore. With a brave, I free lover's soul, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate, break down the guarded gate. There's not much time left today.
Last decade and a half or so. And we will do that momentarily as we await him. We are going to have a number of other guests this week. As you know, we are on at a new time right now. And, of course, that time is 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock Central Time, just in case you didn't know that, all right? That's the time we're on every weeknight right now. As you see, Robbie, Noel, and, of course, Jeff Bennett. I'm bringing you the Republic Trading broadcast so that you will be up to date on all of the information that you need to make vital decisions, as they say. Vital decisions, indeed, pertaining to your future and your economic well-being. So just a word to the wise should be sufficient. As always, you know our number here, toll-free, is 800-313-9443. That is the number that gets you right through to Rick Adams and uncensored Radio Free America. So that will be our topic, at least in the first hour, coming up in just a moment. And we will hear from our guest, I'm sure. We're trying to make contact with him right now, and we do have him, right? So what we'll do is we'll take our break first in the next moment, and my producer will learn how to write and read, and then she will do so. She will educate me as to how to write and read his name, because his name is one of those names that does not look as it sounds. So we'll do that when we come back. From the break, in just 3 minutes from now, yours truly, Radio Avenger, a Paul Revere of Talk Radio, Rick Adams. Stay with me.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. It ain't easy, let me tell you, being a talk host isn't easy getting all of the info together that one needs, but somehow, by the grace of the Heavenly Father, I have succeeded. And what are you saying, madam? Excuse me? Yes, and my producer, okay. She's always talking in my headphones, so I can't really concentrate on the program. You are doing it right now. Silence, you lugubrious laggard. All right, here we are, Rick Adams. A little bit of fun, of course, to start the program off. Because really, what we're going to talk about now is not a very fun topic. And we're going to speak with South African Charles... Let me see. Let me get his pronunciation correct now. Charles van Wyk.
Great.
You should see how it's spelled. It's not spelled at all like we Americans would spell it. But anyway...
Why can't you people read Afrikaans?
Oh, we can't even speak American English anymore. Never mind Afrikaans. Anyway, welcome to the program,
Charles. Thank you very much, Rick.
Yeah, Charles is the author of a book called Shooting Back, The Right and Duty of Self-Defense. And he's visiting in the U.S. right now through June 12th. And he's speaking in Arlington, Virginia, Schenectady, New York, Tampa, Carthage, Montana, I believe, and Tempe, Arizona, as well as Mount Vernon, Montana. Is that right?
That sounds
Missouri,
right.
I'm sorry.
I get mixed up myself with all these different names, you know.
Well, I can remember Pretoria, but I can't remember Carthage. Would you believe it? All right. Anyway, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
And for those, of course, most of our listeners, Charles, know, I think, a little bit about the revolution that went, that really capsized South Africa and turned it into a communist police state today. They call it democracy, you know, our government and the media here call it democracy. But from everything I have read that brings me right to the source and not just some secondhand report, I know some people, in fact, I've known South Africans who have left. They tell me it is literally a state of terror today.
That's right.
Even as Rhodesia has become a state of terror. And you had to meet that terror head on in an attack upon your church in Cape Town, right?
Mm-hmm. That's
tell
right.
Tell us a little bit about that, Charles.
Well, Rick, thank you very much for having me on the program. It's
my
really
pleasure.
Great chatting to you.
My pleasure.
On the 25th of July, 1993, when we were sitting in a church service in Kenilworth, Cape Town, in the St. James Church, we had these terrorists attack the church in the evening. We had some young people that were singing on the platform in the front of the church, and all of a sudden these terrorists broke into the church in the front of the church, and they started throwing hand grenades into the congregation, and they had automatic assault rifles with them, and they started shooting into the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And 11 people were murdered and 54 were injured that evening.
Now, this this is not the only, by the way, the only act of terror that has been perpetrated on a church in South Africa, is it?
No, there have been other occasions too, not very well-known occasions where people have gone into churches and, caused trouble there. And not necessarily, as violent, but there have been occasions where these sorts of things. And even going back into our history, there were times when, people attacked churchgoers and that in areas, different sects and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But historically, generally, the idea was that if people during our wars that we had in South Africa over many hundreds of years, the idea was generally that if people went into a church, which is where the men normally took their wives and children, that nobody would ever attack the church. It was seen
mm-hmm.
As a distinctly sacred area,
mm-hmm.
And that was a safe haven for people generally, historically in our country. And this really shook things up in our country.
Well, I think it used to be the case here, too, in America.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, church bombings and church burnings are pretty commonplace, and of course, some of them did happen in the Deep South, where there were racial attacks against black churches and black people,
mm-hmm.
and of course, none of that is ever justified, and it's always
sure.
an act of terror, and it should never be condoned. But what South Africa today has gone through, I'm afraid very few people in this part of the world who depend on the controlled media in America today are aware of. For instance, I don't recall seeing your story in the New York Times recently or the Washington Post or any of the other flagship media.
Well, it's even difficult in South Africa for me to get my book into the local liberal establishment bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
They'll put it on the shelf and then take it off the shelf because I would check up on them. And then they'll phone us later and say, the book's not selling. Well, obviously mm-hmm. it's not selling. They took it off the shelf and then tell you to come and collect it, So, I mean, I know such things like that would never happen in your society, but it happens for us.
Well, I've got news for you. Years ago, I was part of a group of conservative Americans in my state of Rhode Island, and we would go to the libraries and we would donate books that were not in any way dated. They were current books at the time during the 1970s, particularly in 80s, early 80s, they were from a conservative point of view on current topics, and they would accept the books in the public libraries, and within a short period of time, we'd find the books were missing from the shelves. They were missing, many of them, not all, but many of them were missing from the card catalog.
Uh-huh.
Many of them wound up on the used book sale shelf.
Oh, no.
And that was commonplace
Whereas books on another spectrum, the left-wing spectrum, you know, would be plentifully supplied on the shelves.
Yeah.
And they would be all over. Like, for instance, the late John Kenneth Galbraith, who just died. There would be like 20 books of his on the shelf. And there might be one book by Ludwig von Mises of the conservative Austrian gold school. And that would disappear after a while or would be out permanently, like somebody never returned the book, supposedly. And so this is common. This is common, especially with censors that run the libraries. These are the people that always cry censorship, yet they exercise it themselves, unfortunately.
Incredible.
So anyway, now I bring this up because the reportage, as you recall, in the media in this country during the days of apartheid in South Africa was if anything like this had ever happened in a black church in South Africa or a mixed-race church or even an Indian assembly and a white group came in and did this, I think it would be on the front page of the New York Times for probably a few weeks.
That's the kind of problem we sit with in South Africa now. The church that was attacked by us, which got a lot of news publicity in South Africa, was a mixed-race church. In fact, there were even Russian sailors that were in the church, which the church had a special ministry to because they would come around in their big ships around the Cape, around Africa.
Sure.
And they would come to Cape Town and dock over there, and we had a special ministry to these people. In fact, the one young man was sitting there, and a grenade landed on his legs, on his lap, and blew both his legs off.
Oh, my.
And he lost an arm in it, too. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that was going on. And there were colored people, black people in the church. You know, but anyway, it hit a lot of press there by us. But we found now it is not politically correct, you know, to report on issues. For instance, if a black man shoots a white man, then the newspapers aren't interested in reporting it. But if a white man accidentally even shoots a black man, then it is national news. So there's lots of selective reporting that's going on now. In fact, I read a letter to the editor in a magazine in South Africa where a chap, him and his son were going hunting, and they stopped somewhere just to have a look around, got out of their vehicle, looked around in the field, and a black man came up and shot his son at point-blank range, killed him right there on the spot, and not a single newspaper in South Africa would report the murder. You know, these are the sorts of things that are going on. So the politicians are perpetuating racial hatred. Now, you cannot live in Africa as a white person and hate black people because you are such a small minority group, and the relationship generally in the country is very good. We get on well, we go to each other's churches, we friends with each other, we get on really well. But the politicians are the ones that try to use hatred and perpetuate some kind of hatred to help their political agenda.
Now, I assume that you were born in South Africa, Charles?
Well, my family's been in South Africa since the late 1600s. I'm more African than most Americans are American.
So you're a native?
I'm a native. That's right.
Right, right.
I come from a Dutch background, and my wife comes from a French Huguenot background. These were people that were persecuted for their faith in France, and they came to South Africa for freedom.
That's about the same time that America was being settled.
That's right.
Yes, a very interesting parallel history there the two countries. And yet, as we've noted, we've spoken with various people, and one in particular, Deirdre Fields, I'm sure you probably have heard of her. She was on the program a couple of months or so ago, who also came from South Africa, and he tells a story entirely different from what we're used to getting from the controlled media in America today, the New World Order press and so forth. So it's amazing just how biased and how totally and completely disingenuous these press organs have been with regard to what has happened to South Africa. Because, you know, I was just telling a young man today on my TV staff, and I was telling him that, you know, years ago, between South Africa and Rhodesia, they would feed just about half the continent of Africa.
And now, those same black nations, many of them are starving to
death.
That's
right. That's right.
And I don't feel sorry for them, by the way. All right, we'll be right back. Our guest is Charles Van Vaak, and he's written that book, Shooting Back, The Right and Duty of Self-Defense. We'll take calls. I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey, well, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. And our guest tonight, again, is Charles Van Vaak. And he is the author of Shooting Back, The Right and Duty of Self-Defense. And he's visiting the U.S. now from his native South Africa, visiting a number of cities, as we've said. And his book was the result of a violent attack on his church in Cape Town, South Africa, by communists who threw grenades and fired automatic weapons into the church during that service, as you just heard him say. Armed with only a .38 special revolver, Mr. Vaak was able to return fire and cause the attackers to flee. He then exited a side door and thwarted an additional ambush that had been set up to mow down the worshippers as they fled the church. He serves the people of Africa through Frontline Fellowship, a mission devoted to bringing reformation to Southern Africa. By the way, for more information on Frontline Fellowship, you can go to www.frontline.org.zip.
Z-A/. His book is available, and of course it was written to evangelize the firearm owners, and it's available again in In Touch Mission International. And we can give that number, I guess, toll-free, actually, 888-918-4100. That's 888-918-4100 here in the United States. And, of course, it's also available in South Africa. So, well, Charles, as we were saying, most Americans, thanks to the controlled media, will not hear your story, will not know what it's like to be a minority in a country dominated by this particular majority, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they say they're concerned about minorities.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, that's the really funny thing about our country, you know, is this whole idea of affirmative action mm-hmm. is taking a majority group and trying to fuse it into a minority group. Now, this mm-hmm. is the only place in the world that this has taken place. You know, mm-hmm. majorities look after themselves. They don't mm-hmm. need to be fused into a minority group,
mm-hmm.
Which is really strange. But that's South Africa. You know, we're very different. And you were just talking about it becoming, you know, more like a police state. Well, the trade unions put our president, Mr. Thabo Mbeki, into power, and even they're mm-hmm. calling him a dictator now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is the people that put him into power who are now upset with him. So, you know, things are really strange out there.
But look on the bright side now. You know, when Mugabe in what is now called Zimbabwe, South Africa's neighbor, formerly white-ruled Rhodesia, when he started killing thousands of people and hacking them to bits, killing the animals, killing all kinds of people, black, white, in between, Tony Blair got real upset, you know.
Hmm.
He said he was going to cancel a soccer match for the Zimbabweans.
Yes.
So I do want you to know there is some hope.
There is concern.
Yes, there
yeah.
is.
Well, yeah, you know, there's some really strange things happening. And, you know, the other area that I hear about in the West all the time and get asked about a lot because our mission, Frontline Fellowship, works up in Sudan, is the question about Darfur. And
yes.
Darfur is an area where Muslims are killing Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Muslims were killing the Christians in the Nuba Mountains in the west of Sudan
mm-hmm.
just a few years ago, running them up into the mountains, they couldn't get water, they were struggling. You know, you can't really grow crops up in the top of a mountain, you know.
Uh-huh.
Nobody cared about it. And now when the Muslims are killing each other, this Darfur issue, now the whole world is concerned about them killing each other. But nobody cared about the Christians being murdered just a while back.
Well, that's always been the case, though, hasn't it? And I mean, in my memory, Christians really have never counted for anything in the media, which is dominated by non-Christians.
Sure.
And, you know, when you see really who's in control and what's in control,
mm-hmm.
it's no surprise that Christians are, at the very best, given short shrift. And quite frankly, it's almost as if the more Christians that get killed, the better it is for them.
Mm.
That was true in Soviet Russia, as you know,
mm-hmm.
and Eastern Europe, and really through this whole period of World War II, where the United States, and today is a D-Day of all things, you know, enslaved so much of Europe through the Eisenhower command in World War II, and Central and Eastern Europe, Baltics, and so forth. So what we see is this pattern, a very clear pattern that is taking place. It's an ethnic cleansing.
Mm.
And whether it's in Palestine or whether it's in South Africa, once again, we see the hidden hand of tyranny, and it is being exercised upon white and black and any other color in South Africa that's not part of the ruling elite. Now, when Mandela came to power, as you know, that election was rife with charges of ballot stuffing, corruption. I believe Mr. Buthelezi, Chief Buthelezi of the Zulus, had issued some major concerns about the way that was being handled. And all of it was just blown off by the Clinton administration, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. Well, even the judge that was running the whole election in South Africa, when they asked him about it, you know, how could you say this was a free and fair election?
Mm-hmm.
His comment was something like, you know, well, you can't live in a whorehouse and remain chaste. you know. I mean, what kind of comment is that, you know?
Oh, I guess he was running the whore out. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, this is the kind of thing that goes on. And these ballot boxes get stuffed. We got people, you know, doing all these underhand things. And then they sit up afterwards and the whole world says, well, that was a free and fair election. There's nothing free and fair about it at all.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't matter. As you know, we just seen, you know, with Hamas, Palestine, and if you don't meet the demand.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hey, I guess we have returned. I'm not sure, but anyway, we were cut short going into the last break. But as I was saying, we're talking about this revolution that took place and the massive voting fraud that took place in that election, in which Mandela found himself a head honcho, and his communist African National Congress, which was a communist-backed, Soviet-backed organization right from the get-go. And we are back now, Charles. Mm-hmm. Our guest, by the way, is Charles van Wyk, and we just told you he's an author. Shooting Back is his book, talking about that incident at his church. It was a communist terror attack, and of course, it is just amazing that this sort of thing is just totally ignored by the so-called American media. But it's true that we have a dishonest, corrupt, untruthful media in this country, which
unfortunately continue to dominate the landscape. Now, thank God for RBN, and thank God for alternative radio and the Internet, where we can get people factual information, bring them up to date on what is going on in their country. Remember, our tax dollars have gone to finance these tin pot dictatorships in southern and northern Africa. We are paying for it, Charles.
Now, you are very blessed to still have your freedom on your radio waves that you have here in South Africa. The new government has closed down 8 Christian radio stations already, and they're trying to close down a 9th one right now that's be trying to help fight to keep on the air. So there is a definite case where, I mean, cases where they are specifically trying to close down the mouthpiece of the Christian people. And, you know, it's just amazing to see, you know, I come to the West, to America, and I just see this freedom. This is freedom to me that you people can, you know, have speak on the airwaves so easily. There's major licensing processes to be able to get onto the air, and you've got government, you've got to tape your programs for the government guys to be able to check up on you. It is just unbelievable what goes on there. And it's basically becoming a dictatorship. And the terrorists that attacked our church in 1993 are now talking about a second revolution coming in South Africa. They are upset with the new government themselves because they say that the new government, the African National Congress, has not shared their freedom with them. And they're talking about a second revolution. And this isn't something that we hear about behind closed doors. This is something that the commander of the organization is saying on national radio. And they're talking on national radio about the second revolution that's coming. So, you know, we got to be prepared for these things. And at the same time, the government is trying to disarm the legal gun owners in South Africa, which is just incredible. And a friend of mine who was involved with this government, or the people that are in power now, he was involved with them historically, he said to me, Charles, the African National Congress is the Communist Party. He says they just can't call themselves that because it doesn't go down well in the West and they won't get any financing. So they don't call themselves that, but that's who and what they are.
I beg to differ about the Communist part. I think if they came out and identified themselves more openly as communists, they'd probably get a lot more funding. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, well, you never know.
No, I'm being perfectly candid with you. Yes, I mean, this country has always had a love affair with communism, the United States, and it did so in the name of fighting communism. It actually propped it up, supported it, rescued it, saved it, and metastasized it throughout the world. So, you know, we have a history here, and we are going to be held, by the way, to accountability for what we have done. And this is why we're talking about our borders now that don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And America had better repent for her sins, or we are going to experience the same fate or worse than what you have experienced in South Africa.
Yes.
People do not believe it. You know, they see Hispanics, they see Mexicans, they see others of different races coming over the border illegally, committing acts here and there, random acts. This is a massive act of terror going on right now in South Africa and in once proud Rhodesia, where hundreds of thousands of people are now dead, murdered. I know of someone, and I don't know of him directly, but someone who's in a church, who has church members, missionaries, who moved to South Africa and Rhodesia. And it is in Rhodesia, I believe, or Zimbabwe, mm-hmm. where the whole family was literally hacked to pieces.
Yeah.
The animals were killed, too. I mean, just senseless, evil, cruel violence. All of them were wiped out. And that's the whole family, a Christian family, literally beheaded for the witness of Christ.
Well,
you know?
This is happening all over our country. Mm-hmm. I mean, just before I came here, there were about 3 murders in and around Cape Town. I got an email just today. Somebody shot outside a bank just probably about a mile away from our office. As he walked out of the bank, he was shot dead and his money stolen.
Mm.
This goes on all the time. We have almost 20,000 murders a year in our country, and we only got a population of 45 million. So it is catastrophic what is going on there. A university professor told us on our radio station just a few weeks ago that our water is 51% contaminated. we're losing electricity. It's midwinter there now. People are cold and they can't generate enough electricity anymore because all these people that, the clever people that ran our nuclear power station have left the country because of affirmative action and because of the incompetence of the officials that run these things. And, you know, things are just going down the drain overnight. It's
what is the source of the what is the source of the pollution in the water, Charles?
Well, apparently, when we were having all our electrical breakdowns, because they haven't been servicing the nuclear power plant that generates electricity, we had electrical breakdowns. Apparently, because of something going wrong with our pumping system, sewage water crept into the drinking water, apparently. So this is what we're told, and now we're sitting with 51% contaminated water in our taps. This has come from a nation where we never, ever generally had electrical problems. We had some of the best water in the world that you could drink from your tap. And now we're sitting with all this kind of nonsense going on just due to total incompetence and people that can't think, for the future, prepare for the future, and because of really bad economic and socio-political policies like affirmative action. Why must somebody work in a country where he's going to have a boss that knows less than him and, because of the color of his skin, he's going to get more and more money and get promoted all the time and he's going to go nowhere. So he leaves the country and goes to work in France and in America and New Zealand and Australia and England. You know, why must he hang around here? And then his family has to live behind bars in a prison because of the violence and the corruptness and things in our society. So, people are they're just leaving the country.
Now, up until the end of the apartheid system, the population was, I guess, if I'm not mistaken, you had several million whites. What was the figure?
We were told it was about 8 million whites. And why
at the time,
Yes, at the time. But, one of the things is, you'll never get me on definite statistics because we can't trust the stats we get from our government.
Well, we don't trust ours either, so in the same boat.
Well, the good thing is, you got a lot of researchers that can actually come with pretty good stuff for you. We don't have that in South Africa. The universities don't all sprout the government rhetoric, so we can't trust them either. Mm-hmm. Apparently about 8 million people say there's probably about 4 million left now.
That's about half of the white population either murdered or left the country.
Most of them would have left the country by now, and those who are left, lots of them are trying to find ways to get out, to leave the place. It's difficult to stick around in a place when you've got little children, they're growing up, and there's talk nationally about a second revolution coming.
Yeah.
We've already been through one. People don't want to go through that again.
Mm-hmm. It could be probably totally ethnic cleansing at that point,
That's right. Well, although they're saying this time that the difference between the last revolution and this revolution is that the last one was race-based, and this time it won't be race-based, because now obviously the communists and socialists, they hate anybody that's got money, so therefore they hate the white people anyway, even if they aren't rich. But there's a new black rich class, and they hate them too because they now have what they call their freedom. And this freedom, i.e. money, isn't being shared. quite an interesting situation we have over there. But, even although there's all this wickedness we're talking about, God is moving in great ways in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And amongst the Zulu people in Zululand, mm-hmm. Amongst the people of Dr. Buthelezi that you mentioned earlier, there's great revival going on. There's a mission station there that is just phenomenal. They feed 1,000 people a day. The witch doctors are coming to Christ. They're being converted. People that have murdered are coming to Christ and then going off to the police station and handing themselves over. It is just unbelievable what is going on there. They have a Christian school, and in the final year of our academic calendar, they haven't had a single failure in 25 years. Now, virtually no government school could claim that. And this is a small private Christian school on a mission station in the middle of a rural area. It is phenomenal what's going on. There are people that go there for prayer that are HIV positive and leave HIV negative. Mm-hmm. And they're not taking any medicine. It is just through prayer. Miracles are happening there. And so there are lots of exciting things. But as God's working amongst the people, it looks like the government officials are becoming more and more wicked as the people and the population are coming to Christ and becoming more righteous. Mm-hmm. So the contrast is so much worse for us.
It certainly is, and that revolution that took place was called a democratic revolution. We here in America realize that the beginning of the end came when the South African government foolishly allowed the outside media to come in, thinking they were going to get a fair shake. And Ted Koppel set up shop there with Nightline for a week,
mm-hmm.
and gave us nothing but one propaganda episode after another. And that was the beginning of the downfall
yeah.
of that government. Now, Mr. Botha, who was the prime minister at the time, suffered a stroke. And he was immediately ushered out of power. And the de Klerk government came in, as I recall. Isn't that mm-hmm. what happened?
That's right. There's a bit of a story behind this. And people have been led to believe that he was actually poisoned.
That's what I figured. That's what I was told.
The week before he supposedly had his stroke, he had gone to the doctor and he had a full bill of health. He was
mm-hmm.
as strong as an ox, as
mm-hmm.
we would say.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he has the stroke. And the story was that there was something put in his tea. And because he was as strong as an ox, he didn't die from it. He only had a stroke. And he's still alive now, and I think he's just turned 90 years old.
I have no doubt about that, because the timing was absolutely fortuitous
for
the revolutionaries.
Right.
This de Klerk, who was an attorney, wanted to claim the glory and the center stage of bringing down the apartheid system and bringing mm-hmm. in what they called multilateral, multinational democracy, which is nothing but a total fraud. And immediately it had all of the earmarkings to me, all of the trappings of a blatant coup d'etat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly apparently what did happen, because
that's
he
right.
was just pushed aside.
Mm-hmm.
And then de Klerk assumed the reins of power, and they had elections. See, this is where the media in this country are so corrupt and dishonest, mm-hmm. because they kept saying this would be this election, this all-race election would be the change of South Africa to a democracy. Well, South Africa always had a democratic system in terms of voting.
Mm.
That is, if it was the whites who voted to end apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't like it just happened with a shake of a wand.
Yeah.
It happened because of the vote.
Yeah.
And the media said apparently there was no voting in South Africa
yeah.
until all races were permitted to vote. So
yeah.
it was just another blatant lie of the media. You know?
But anyway, that's the kind of thing that one gets to expect, as you said a bit earlier. But, it's just incredible even seeing Zimbabwe, which was the Prime Minister Ian Smith, who I was really
mm-hmm.
privileged to have lunch with just last year.
Yeah.
He's very old now, and he's living in a retirement village in Cape Town. And, there again, they never, ever had apartheid in that country, ever. There was no such thing.
Well, it was minority rule, you know.
Well, yes, but the fact was everybody could vote.
Mm-hmm.
They're just the bad guys, the terrorists, the Mugabe and his group, they were the ones stopping the blacks from going to the polls.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can't say that these people, there's any apartheid there. And
No, absolutely not.
And the whole world, stood up for the terrorists again.
Yeah.
In fact, they had a vote there. And
I remember.
And a really great black man came to power,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of the world didn't like that, so they had to re-vote again.
And they ordered that election null and void. Jimmy
That's
Carter
right.
was president.
Yep. That's right. Yeah.
That was Abel Moseriwa, I think, wasn't it?
That's right, Moseriwa,
yeah.
that's right. And then they had to have another election until this tyrant came to power.
Right.
And Bishop Tutu at the time was saying, heaven has come in Zimbabwe. Well, sure, but if that's heaven, then, can you imagine what hell's going to be like?
Yeah, you can just imagine. From Tutu, I'm not surprised.
Well, yeah exactly. But, he also, the chap that I shot at our church, Kaya Makoma, one of the attackers, when I went to speak to him, he had been influenced by Bishop Tutu's teachings, and that is liberation theology. And the idea there is that if Jesus Christ was around today, he would be a combatant. He'd be fighting for a just cause and be a liberator, in other words, a terrorist.
Right, he'd be using the necklace on people,
I guess. That's right. And, yeah. And this young man firmly believed that he was going to heaven because he shot up people in the church, because he was fighting for a just cause. So I had to, I gave him a Bible to read, and I gave him the true gospel. Because this is the kind of nonsense that that was being fed by these political, thugs in our country.
Oh, it's absolutely incredible. By the way, RBN has a book that we offer on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and it's called A Martyr Speaks, The Journal of the Late John Allen Coey. And it's the story of an American soldier who refused to serve in Vietnam and then instead wound up in Rhodesia fighting the communists there. His mother, Phyllis Coey, spent 13 years trying to publish that journal and finally got it published, and we offer it here on Republic Broadcasting. It's put on the program Divided Kingdom just a couple of weeks ago, so I want you to know that we do have a resource of references, library, books, and so forth here on the network.
Well,
now, I want to just tell our listeners that we do take phone calls, and we'll take Tom first up and you next at 1-800-313-9443. Rick Adams and his guest, Charles Van Veek, will be right back.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
first step in winning the war? Spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on RBNLive.com.
We're back now with our guest, Charles van Wyk, and he is South African, and of course, he has authored the book that we said, Shooting Back, and of course, we have callers who want to speak to you, so why don't we do that, Charles? Let's take some calls now on the program. 1-800-313-9443. Tom in Ohio, you're first up. Hi, you're on the program.
Yeah, what's a population of what's a population of your country?
Tom, hi there. We about 45 million apparently.
Oh, gosh,
country.
We got you beat, man. We aborted 50 million over here because we didn't want to share the same sunshine with them. You know, you ought to come over here. No, never mind. Don't come over here. You wouldn't want to see this. We got abortions every day. We got drug addiction. We got government shipping in drugs, guns to the gangs. You name it, we got it. Murder for hire. They got murder. Oh, they do it, man. They're Luciferian to the hilt.
Mm-hmm. Well, the
matter of fact, send those missionaries over here. We might be able to use them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the difference too is that, you know, we have almost 20,000 murders a year with 45 million. I think you probably come maybe close to that, but you have 300 million people in your country. So there is a little bit higher rate.
Well, it's probably higher than yours. Because our news media won't tell us nothing.
Oh, I see. Yes, okay. I see what you're saying.
It's all owned by the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, Wahlbergs, and you name it.
So you're not getting the right stats just like we aren't.
Exactly.
Okay.
If you want anything, they're going to come around. They're doing the same thing in this country as they're doing in your country, and they will. We had 200,000 gun stores here about 10 years ago. I think we got less than 24,000 now, and that figure's 5 years old. So, and we got 75,000. We have 75,000 BATF officers. That's the ones that go around and collect the guns.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bloody army, isn't it?
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, we've got some.
You don't need that many officers to keep control on tobacco and whiskey.
Sure. But when you've got a disarmed population, you don't even need half that amount of people. I mean, that's exactly what's happening in South Africa now. They're trying to disarm us, and they are telling us we have to renew our licenses.
And, I want you to make up some bumper stickers when you get home, okay? Mm-hmm. I want you to remember this. Registration, confiscation, extermination.
That's right. That's Africa. That's wherever you have genocides taking place is where the people are disarmed. And just incredible, because the people in South Africa are not handing in their weapons and they are not relicensing. And in fact, the Black Gun Owners Association asked the white gun owners to join them in civil disobedience, and they're not handing in their weapons, and they will not be relicensing their weapons. So, that's one of the good things that are happening in our country, is that the people are refusing to hand over.
Maybe I ought to come over there and get out of this hole.
I don't know. It's six of one, half dozen of another, Tom.
For a long time, it's been America. America's over, buddy. America's history. It's gone.
That's pretty to hear that. I think there's still hope. I've got a lot of hope even for Africa. I see great things happening. God's working in mighty ways around the country. We just got to get rid of these really bad government officials. But otherwise, on the ground, there's very exciting things happening. Even in the Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo, great churches, people are frightened. They live in fear of their lives. They're disarmed population, but
you're going to have to get rid of the communists. That's the only, because if you don't get rid of them,
first thing you got to do before you go after the government, though, you have to shut down the media, and you have to open up an honest media.
One more thing before I go, sir.
Mm-hmm.
What's your name? First name?
Charles. S H A R L. Charles.
Well, I've read into some South Africans over here, and they're swell people. Remember us in your prayers, will you, every day, please?
We'll do that. I'll do that, Tom. Thank you.
Make it a fervent prayer, all right?
You pray for us, too, please.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you for the call. We'll be back with Bob in Missouri, and your calls at 1-800-313-9443. Rick Adams, we'll be right back with Second Hour.
With recent internet